Green Bay, too, pick 59, pick 53 as well. I would think they're going to be a team that's going to be looking to make a move here. Christian Watson, I think, is a stud, but I don't think he's going to be sitting there at 53. They better move up.
The Nostradamus appears. I am here. I forgot I said that. Damn, I'm good.
I remember other things
sometimes,
you said.
Yeah, right. Don't bring them up. If they're wrong, don't bring them up. Let me ride this wave for a little bit. All right there, blue pants guy. Okay, let me ride it for a minute. I've been wrong about a lot this weekend. That's a good one. Okay, I like that.
Do you feel like you missed on a few of those big ones?
I mean, no, I don't ever feel like I miss with like the draft. Like, I mean, listen, I know I made some strong comments about Stingley and Thibodeau, right?
You stand by them, though.
I stand by them. To me, they're risky. So, you know, we'll see. The future will show us who's right. Yeah. It's not about right now or whatever else. But, yeah, you always come away with the weekend. Like, a person like me, and you know I like my job and I want to be good at it.
Yes.
To where I sit there, like, I'm sure I even did it on Thursday night. Like, why didn't I think about that guy to that team? That's so stupid. Or why didn't I think they would do this or whatever? To where that's where you get mad at yourself. But you know you're not going to be perfect.
Well, the mock draft is so hard.
It is
right?
hard.
I mean, like, we've been listening to you for the last couple months here on your evaluations of the prospects. When it comes to the mock, which I don't know that we did that great on it and putting teams out there. We did catalyze a conversation, which I think is the important part.
Yeah, cool. Right.
But there's so much misinformation out there, some from teams, right?
Oh, it's definitely. Just like,
it's very hard to get a read on what these teams are thinking, and that might change throughout the draft, too, it seems like,
definitely.
Depending on what happens ahead of them.
Or what they know about them personal-wise. You know, like, listen, I knew there was a few things here and there. Some of the stuff with Jermaine Johnson, why he was on the board at the 25. You know, I didn't know that some of his interviews weren't that great, and there was a few things here and there. So, yeah, you end up looking like a fool. You're going, man, I've been telling everybody this top 10 pick, and then he ends up, you know, being pick 25 or 26, and people are like, well, you're an idiot, Sims. You misevaluated. And I want to be like, I don't know if I misevaluated. I just didn't know that aspect. I'm only know right. so much here. And, so that's where it gets frustrating, too.
What you're saying to yourself, though, there, I know that the Jets, from hearing a couple of reports, were thinking the same thing.
Right, right.
The same thing, and they're drafting. Like,
yes.
Are we missing something
here? Yeah,
why
right.
is he still on the board?
Right.
What do we need to look out for?
I know. He obviously showed them the better side of himself and all that, but I guess there were some concerns. And then, you know what happens, too, is this is what happens. One or two teams, they talked to somebody at Georgia. You know, he left Georgia, right? And then, they found the guy that didn't like him or he was maybe mean to once or was like, screw this place, I'm going to leave and transfer. And now it's like, well, he was a little bit of a pain in the ass at Georgia. It can be that fickle. It really can. And to where he was kind of a pain in the ass there, and then he went to Florida State, and, you know, if he wasn't an exact perfect choir boy, then you have a reputation of being like, this guy's maybe a little bit of a jerk or whatever. So I don't know. Those things play into it. It was a great draft, though.
Awesome.
Tons of, like, excitement. We had fun Thursday night hanging out.
That was a great time.
It was. Yeah. It was great. We were in the barn. Morgan is behind the camera right now, running social media, kicked ass for us. So that was great. It really was. I had a lot of fun, and I was happy I made it to the show the next day. Did you think I was going to make it to Pro Football Talk the next morning?
I did think you would make it there, eventually.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you'd be there when the show began. No, but we had a lot of fun.
We did.
That was
Good
a great
night.
Time. Thanks for having us over. And so we got to witness the first round together. We're going to get into this whole draft and some of the winners that we think won the draft,
sure.
got good value.
Sure.
You never know for another couple of years,
You're
three
right.
years. But now
That's
we can
right.
kind of think players that you liked specifically that went to some teams. Some of them got multiple guys that you really like. But let's look at the first round real quick because it was historical in a lot of different ways. There were things that happened in this first round, and we'll get to this whole draft, but there were things that happened that we have never seen before. It's been a really long time. First quarterback taken, pick 20 or later, first time since 1997. First five picks, all defense, haven't seen that since 1991. Nine teams had multiple picks. That's never happened before.
It's crazy.
10 teams had no picks in the first round. That was weird. So that's first time that's ever happened before. Six wide receivers, the first 20 picks.
Insane.
Saw the run on them. You knew there were a lot that were bunched close together talent-wise.
Right.
You didn't think they'd go necessarily that high.
I didn't think they would all run like that.
But there was a run on them.
Yes.
Teams needed them.
Yes.
They've gotten very expensive here. The veteran wide receivers, five defenders from the same school, Georgia, went in the first round. The first time that's ever happened. Of all those things, Which one kind of stood out to you the most?
I think 10 teams with no picks is like definitely a strange one. If we can leave this up there for a sec, it's just weird. We had major cities who had no vested interest in the first round of the draft.
Which I think is why the ratings were probably down.
You said it before the show and we started to crack it off and you're like, well, yeah, when San Francisco, you know, Las Vegas, Chicago, L.A., and Miami, there's five huge cities in our country that were not involved in that draft right there.
Yeah
it's got to hurt the ratings.
Yep.
Yeah, so that is interesting nonetheless. I think the wide receivers, six of them in the top 20, to me is fascinating because, again, they're growing on trees, but they're also very important. And we know what the really good ones can really change the dynamic of your football team. You know, so that, to me, is going to be something cool to watch for going forward. The other thing, not even on there, the O-linemen, we saw the run of them as well, which was kind of like the receiver thing where I went, man, I thought all these guys were first-roundish type players. I didn't think all of them and maybe one or two other guys were going to go along with it. So there was a lot of cool storylines along with the trades and some of the gambles. And then, of course, the quarterback thing, I think, is the icing on the cake as far as conversation around that first round.
I want to get to the quarterback thing in a second here, but the wide receiver thing real quick, because you do see the offensive tackles, the offensive linemen go early because they're relatively safe, right? Like, you're not going to have huge busts. Like you've said this before. At worst, they're going to be like an average
player. Yeah, if you got a good
guy,
he's going to be playing for you for a while, right? He might not be a Pro Bowler, but he's going to be there playing, right?
Seeing this happen to wide receivers now, though, I mean, is that necessarily the case with a wide receiver? Because I'm a fan of the Detroit Lions, who had a pretty good draft here, but in the past have taken wide receivers very early, multiple years in a row, and they didn't really pan out.
Yeah.
Like, are we getting to a point where these teams are more sure that these guys are going to pan out, or has the game evolved to that point?
Yes, they have. That's the first. Let's start there. I think you're right. Okay. Yes, they're going to pan out more. It's everything. We've talked about this a little bit. It's, you know, again, my 11-year-old's playing flag football, throwing 50 passes on a Saturday afternoon to his friends who are running another 50 routes down the field and catching the ball. It's just everything is so much more advanced. The 7-on-7 we've talked about, high school teams, like when you and I were playing high school quarterback, it was like, you threw the ball 14 times this week?
Yeah.
And now they're like, we only threw it 14? Like, what? I threw it 14 in the first quarter. It's just a different game that way. And then where I just wonder if this is going with the receiver thing a little bit is like somewhat running back-ish. All right. So first off, you mentioned your Lions receivers. That was before the rookie salary cap. So those were big time gambles. Like you had to pay guys like $50 and $60 million coming into the league. And haven't done crap or got open against anybody. Now, I think we might start to see, one, they know how important Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, they change your team. Justin Jefferson, whoa, right away, in the league, change your team, whatever. So I think they see that. And then I think the big contract thing is coming into play here. And because I think teams are going, let's just draft a receiver every 3 years. Every 2-3 years, let's just draft one towards the top. And we'll just keep replenishing. So just in case we get stuck in one of these situations where all of a sudden a receiver wants $30 million a year, we can go, we got a lot of good receivers here. Let's just keep them kind of coming. Kind of like you see maybe the 49ers do with running backs or, you know, some teams like that where they know it's an important position. I could kind of see that being the new mantra in the NFL. Let's replace the young guy. Buy A.J. Brown. We're not paying you $100 million. Here's Treylon Burks. Here's our new guy. And then we'll see in 3 years, and maybe we'll give him a new contract. If he asks for too much, we'll draft another guy because we think they can come in the league, to your point, and play right away. I do think there's some of that logic in the NFL, for sure.
And teams like the Titans can say, you know, Treylon Burks is not A.J. Brown.
Right.
He can maybe give us, at first year, 60%, maybe 70% of A.J. Brown. And then we'll take that other $20 million or $18 million and use it on a stud defensive lineman or offensive tackle.
Exactly right. Another receiver. I mean, who knows? Yeah, another tight end that helps it out. I mean, I think that's what you're going to see here. And, they're going to hope that, you know, Treylon Burks just has an effect on the offense this year and he grows. We didn't think A.J. Brown was going to be A.J. Brown either. You know, so we'll see. But I thought that was really a cool thing about the first round for sure. And it made me think a little bit as far as the receivers and where it's going.
Also mentioned a cool thing about the first round. Yeah. Quarterbacks didn't dominate it this year.
It was nice.
People attribute that to the lack of ratings, that there wasn't that high-profile quarterback.
Let it go.
But for people that cover it every year,
it's
cool to have something different. Like, right? Why does that have to be about the quarterback?
Let it go. And then, like, it got a little annoying at some points. points in the first round where it was just like every pick was like, is this Malik Willis? Is this Malik Willis? No, it's not. It's not. We only know there's like four teams that want quarterbacks. It's not this team. Let's talk about some of the other good players in the draft. So we'll get to the quarterback thing in a minute. All right. But
into it right now.
Well, I was going to just give Georgia thing. I just wanted to hit on that.
You want it? Yeah.
I mean, come on. Georgia with all the players drafted, the first rounders. That's insane. How are they not one? They're one of the stories of the draft. I mean, they dominated, let alone like the defensive guys. You know, I've been drooling over them, and five of them go in the first round.
Yeah.
That to me is definitely one of the storylines, the 2022 NFL draft, when we look back in history and go, oh, that was the Georgia draft.
Yeah.
That was where all five of those all-pro defensive players were drafted. I mean, they're extremely talented. That was cool.
It'll be interesting to see how they all pan out.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I know.
Did they all make themselves better by playing on that team? Like, yeah. I always bring this up. I never played at the professional level, but like I was playing JV baseball one year and then got called up to varsity for a couple games.
Right.
I was like, oh, man, I got called up. I was like, this is going to be hard. It was easier. Like, I was playing shortstop. I was throwing balls in the dirt.
Your second baseman was
scooping
better.
It.
Right.
Yeah, he's turning double play.
Right.
I looked awesome
because
everyone else around me was so much better.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how these guys pan out.
No question. It will. It will. It's I would be shocked if any of them become busts, but who knows? Either way, it is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. My own school, Texas, I'd like to throw some shade on
them. How'd that go?
I mean, how shitty are we? We have nobody drafted. I mean, shitty. How is that possible? The Big 12 sucks. That's the other thing that comes away from the draft. If it isn't for Baylor and Iowa State and Oklahoma, oh my gosh, does it stink. But, like, yeah, that's embarrassing. I kept sitting there going, wait, this is the second guy from UT San Antonio I'm watching get drafted, but the UT does not have it.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is unbelievable. I mean, no Big 12 players in round one. And, you know, you've heard me. We've talked about this the last 2 years. They don't play defense in Big 12.
Yep.
And it's just, it's like Oklahoma offensive guys. If it isn't for fucking Matt Rhule bringing a bunch of speed guys to Baylor, we wouldn't be talking about anybody outside the Big 12 other than Oklahoma and Iowa State.
It was a crazy first round. It
yeah.
was very difficult for anyone to predict, including our own homies. We had the Sims Perfect 10, right?
Right.
What did we promise? If you got all 10 and you went to Points Bet and put the bet on there and you got 1 through 10 correct,
$100,000.
$100,000.
Free bets.
You were going to come onto this podcast.
Yeah.
You were going to become friends with us.
Right.
Like, we would have been friends. We would have probably hung out 10 years from
Definitely.
Now.
Definitely. You were going to give him a pair of blue pants to wear.
Yeah. Right. I would have given you a pair of my blue pants that I no longer wear. We would all hung out together. That didn't happen, though. We had 224 entries, though. One person did make it a perfect 5 for 5.
Oh, okay.
But then had Kenny Pickett to the Panthers at number 6.
Oh, yep. The old quarterback thing got you. Yeah.
I still feel like we should shout it, send a note to that guy, say, good job.
Yeah.
You made it as far as everyone else.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to give him a shout out for top 5. Yeah, they're working on it in the back. We'll get something together and give him some love. Top 5 in a row is pretty damn good.
And give him like a $10 gift card to our cafeteria here at
Stanford. No question.
If he's ever in town.
Well, and then all right, so let's get into the quarterbacks because this might be a good jump off spot too.
Okay, perfect time.
Because
that's the one thing.
Yeah.
That of all the things, and you were talking about this before we started.
Right.
The betting markets were spot on with a lot of this stuff.
What? Definitely.
Like, they know stuff.
What?
Jay Croucher from Points Bet.
Definitely. All over it. I mean, I will next year pay attention to the betting markets way more.
You really?
100%. They were almost spot on about everything. I mean, everything that got close to the draft and close to the time of the pick, it was almost spot on. I mean, Stingley at 3, as much as I didn't want to believe it and think that, and I know other people in football were like, I just can't imagine Nick Caserio doing that. Like, boom, they were all over it. Thibodeau, I'm going, sitting there going, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole around pick 4 or 5. Pick 5 off the board, you know, a half a spot worse than the markets, you know, set him at. I mean, round 2, I'm turning on the draft round 2. It's 10 minutes before. Oh, most betting markets have Logan Hall, the defensive end from Houston, as the first pick. The Bucks are up, the first pick of the second round, Logan Hall. I mean, it was off the charts, and it just continued to where I know I was told teams are paying attention to it, and I will too now, from now on, because obviously somebody's giving inside info somewhere.
So the one thing that they didn't quite nail, I think, was the quarterbacks, because there was an idea that there would be, I think, 2.5. Was that the over-under, Pete?
It was 2.5. I always went under. I went under the whole time. I will say that.
So we had one, and if you and the betting market favored the over, so they were thinking maybe 3 quarterbacks in the first round. And so if you were thinking there'd be 3 quarterbacks in the first round, Even if you included the second round, you were still wrong because it was just one quarterback in the first two rounds, Kenny Pickett, 20 to Pittsburgh. And then you had to wait till round three. Desmond Ridder off the board in round three to the Falcons, and then Malik Willis in round three to Tennessee, and then Matt Corral. Carolina finally got their quarterback in the draft, round three. Sam Howell didn't go until round five. Bailey Zappi from Western Kentucky went to the Patriots.
They got their Brian Hoyer. So that's their Brian Hoyer for the next 10 years.
So, how surprised were you about where the quarterbacks went?
Well, surprise. I mean, again, the betting markets were wrong there. I mean, this is one where the NFL didn't know this. Like, this wasn't going – there was teams, plenty of teams in football that thought Atlanta was taking Malik Willis at eight. I had people like, hey, have you heard anything about Malik at eight to Atlanta? We're hearing the thing. So, like, you know, the league didn't even know where these quarterbacks were going to fall.
How does that happen, though?
Well,
because like, the evaluation of a guy
is such a jump off position. You know, it is beauty in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. You know, again, some teams like Johnny Manziel, John Gruden thought he should be the first 24 picks of the draft. I was going, you don't pick him before pick 68. What are you talking about? Like, I know a bunch of friends that didn't have anything better than a third-round grade on Johnny Manziel. So that's where it's the quarterback. It's how many are out there to possibly get. We're desperate. We need our one. You know, beauty in the eye of the holder. We see something. You know, oh, there's only a few out there this year. We got to get ours now. Let's get it. I think all of those play into the fact to where, yeah, teams don't know. Again, we've seen some really not talented quarterbacks get drafted in the top 10. So, yeah, I just think between that. But so then it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen, right? We get no quarterbacks. There goes Kenny Pickett off the board, right? We came into the draft, first off, kind of knowing the four or five teams that need a quarterback. There's not many teams that needed it. That's what it was a weird year, you know? So you look at it and go, wait, we came into the draft going, Pittsburgh, okay, maybe the Saints, we're not sure, but Chris has been trying to tell you the Saints think they're ready and they're not, you know, I don't know about the quarterback in round one because they think they're one of the better teams in the NFC. So they got two guys that can play for them right now. Okay, wait. Oh, the Tennessee Titans maybe for the future. Maybe because Tannehill and nobody can get off the interceptions in the playoff game. Atlanta Falcons. Oh, yeah. Okay, Atlanta Falcons, sir. Oh, and then the Carolina Panthers. Right. And it's like that was it. So those are your teams that you knew. So then once they got out of the first round, right, Kenny Pickett gets addressed. Now I think the rest of those teams like look at it and kind of go, well, you know, we don't have to be desperate here. There's only a few teams left that really need quarterbacks, and you know, there's actually more quarterbacks than available chairs.
Yeah.
So I think they sit back and wait. And then, of course, with the value of the second round and some of the great players that we know that were there to be had this year, it kind of trickles down. And then teams that don't want it, like, again, a team that has an established starter or somebody they're really in on, they're not going to take Malik Willis at the end of the second round, even though they go, well, we had a first-round grade on him. They don't want to start a quarterback controversy and deal with all that either.
They go, you see what happened with Jordan Love?
Well, it just all those issues come up. So then you just start to do that. Like, oh, gosh, well, Malik Willis, I mean, if we draft him in the second round and our quarterback comes out and plays a few bad games – everyone's going to go, well, this guy should have been a first rounder. Did we want to throw him in there and put him in the game? So it all kind of funnels that way. And I think that's what leads to the drop eventually, let alone we said these players weren't perfect. Pickett was the most ready, schooled, like ready to play, Mac Jones lightish type of guy.
Yeah.
And then I think Malik Willis and Corral had more things off the field than maybe I realized, really. I knew there was some immaturity and some things like that, but I think it was a little bit more than maybe we realize in NFL circles.
And you need to be sold on that for the quarterback, right? Of all positions,
definitely
right?
The most important. Definitely.
Other positions, defensive tackle maybe is a little bit of a
quarterback, they want stable human beings that are smart, dependable, and everything. And that's why Desmond Ridder got drafted by the Falcons, because they went, you know what? Let's just go with the guy that there was no transfer issues and going to Liberty and immaturity issues there. And then, yes, the guy's talented but very raw and doesn't play in the pocket that well. Corral, we've heard he was a knucklehead young and, whoa, alcoholism is involved. I mean, yeah, teams don't want that as their franchise quarterback. So that scares them, no matter how good the talent is. Then you got Ridder, who, he's got issues on the field, but damn, he's probably got the best people skills. He's good on the board. He does have some potential and some things we like about him.
let's just go with that guy. A guy that's a leader of men. We can count on him. We know he's going to work hard and do the things to get better, and let's do that. And a quarterback, I think that gets valued more than any other position.
Yeah, what were you saying there, Pete, about the quarterback? Oh, yeah, we don't know exactly what the issues were.
Alcohol issues. Listen, I've been saying this. Him drinking with the head coach, being a college kid, I'm not trying to judge. Me, of all people, again, I'm not, you know, there was depression has been thrown out there this weekend by a number of the NFL insiders.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to judge or anything. I'm not trying to diagnose. Person.
We don't know.
Exactly. But I'm just saying what's that was out there.
Yeah.
I think it's a real thing. And that's what led to some of the issues of why these guys kind of fell as far as they did.
So who do you think out of the quarterbacks that went after Kenny Pickett? Because obviously, I mean, Pittsburgh thinks that Kenny Pickett can be a guy. That's why he take him in the first round, right? Yeah. So it might not be this year, but it could be next year.
Right.
But who knows? It could be this year.
It could be this year.
Of the other guys,
who
do you think gets on the field first in a non-injury situation?
Yeah, gotcha. I'm going Corral. I'm going to go
Matt
Corral.
Corral, Carolina Panthers.
I am going to go with Corral. You know, I know enough good things about Corral, too. I know a few people in the world, all right? I know this kid is like, he's got the things we've talked about, some checkered history or whatever else. I know a lot of good things, too, about the kid. And, again, I'm just a believer in the talent. I'm a believer in the talent. I'm a believer in the personality I see on the field when he's playing the game. So that's where I'll go with it. And, you know, they have a weapon. I think he fits that offense. He has those Aaron Rodgers-ish type skills, quick release, fling it anyway, just flick it with the wrist 30 yards, and guess who Aaron Rodgers' coach was one day? Ben McAdoo. Hmm. Right, so to me, he fits their scheme and their style of play. And, you know, after Pickett, to me, he's the most ready. I think he's still the most ready after Pickett. His offense wasn't perfect, but he did a lot of NFL type of things that I like and see. And, of course, you know I believe in his ability. I think his ability is big time.
We're going to get on to the teams that you thought did a great job in this overall draft. But last thing, Sam Howell, fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
First pick in the fifth round, going to the Washington Commanders,
right.
A junior. People thought maybe he was going to be the number one overall pick
last year. This is a great theme again here.
But for him, man, if he could do it over again, he'd probably go back to school, right? Because you mentioned a couple things, right? Obviously, his stock was down this year compared to what it was last year. Who knows? Maybe it doesn't go up.
Right.
But maybe more teams need a quarterback. This was a weird year with quarterbacks. I don't know. If you're Sam Howell sitting there right now, you're going to Washington. You're getting your chance to go in the NFL. But maybe you think, like, man, dang, I should have maybe gone back one
100%,
year.
100%. I don't know what the information he got coming out when he made the decision to think that, you know, him and Carson Strong, I would look at both of them and go, I don't know what they were thinking. You know, stay in school, play more. Look at the guy that just got picked first. He was there for 6 years. He improved his stock, right? His last year. You know, I looked at him last year and I went, that's a mid-round pick. And then this year I go, well, shit, maybe he is towards the top of the first. Holy crap. So, yeah, there's issues. You know, hey, he can play in the pocket, Sam Howell. He can do that. He can go through reads. He plays a style of football that would scare me, is not going to translate to the NFL. He's kind of poor man's Baker Mayfield. He likes to run and scramble and do that, but he's not all that fast. I don't think that's going to work. And then, you know, I don't know if you were here the day we broke down the quarterbacks or not, but he has a mechanical flaw in the fact that he never gets his front shoulder close to the target. Hmm. He almost has his chest, like his pectorals are to the target as he throws the ball. I haven't seen too many quarterbacks in the history of football that have been successful that way. So that scares me. But, yeah, those are things you go, who talked to you? Why didn't somebody tell you? And you could go back and work on those things and then show, hey, I'm not taking sacks. I'm not doing that type of stuff. I fixed this. And teams would go, oh, okay, wait, there's something here. But, like, Washington's the perfect example of, let's take this guy. I don't want to take Malik Willis and Matt Corral. They're going to be too talented. It's going to have a controversy. Everyone's going to go, oh, as soon as Carson Wentz has two bad games, everyone's going to go, well, a lot of the people thought they were first-round picks, put them on the field. So they went with the guy that they don't have to deal with that. See, and that leads to the falling of talented Malik Willis, Matt Corral types.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they got a team.
Happened to me.
They got a chance. Happened to Chris. Now you're sitting next to me.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe 10 years from now, Malik will be sitting next
maybe
to me.
Maybe he will. Maybe he'll take my job. And then also, did you wear blue pants today just for the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. The Detroit Lions. I was so happy when we were hanging out in
so
the barn.
Was I. It was awesome.
I was like, you were thinking
I'm
about
kind of a Lions fan now.
Changing teams.
I'm a Lions fan. I'm not changing.
A bit.
But
well,
I'm going to jump on your bandwagon a little with you.
All right, because you think the Ravens did well, but let's start with the Lions here. And we'll get to the Ravens next because I do think, and I'm biased, but I do think the Lions did very well. And, you know, that's not always a being a fan of a team. Sometimes you're harsher on your team, too.
Sure.
Right? So it's not just because I'm a fan, I'm going to like their draft.
Right.
A lot of times you're like, oh, this sucks. Why we take those guys? They're going to turn out to be nothing. But I think these guys are going to turn out to be good players. So we're looking at the Lions draft now. If you're watching on YouTube or Peacock, they got Aiden Hutchinson because Trayvon Walker went number one to the Jags, and they traded up for Jameson Williams, but then got one of the guys that you like at defensive end in Josh Pascal from Kentucky, Kirby Joseph, a safety out of Illinois, got some love out there.
Yeah.
Malcolm Rodriguez, an athletic linebacker who played quarterback in high school, went in the sixth round. So, you know, the top two you've kind of talked about a little bit, but overall here, what do you think of the Lions?
Like, love it. Definitely one of the teams that won the draft. I mean, there's no question about that. Not going to say they won it absolutely, but they're like, to me, one of the top five teams for sure. You know, first off, to get Aiden Hutchinson there, like you said it right, the match, the personality, everything, the stars aligned, like perfectly. It's like fucking ridiculous how perfect it is. It's just one of those. Then to get Jameson Williams, as you know, I think is the best receiver of the draft. He's the number one receiver on just about everybody's board. If he doesn't have the ACL, he's going first. And he was, I loved him the other night because he was pissed that he got drafted fourth. He went up there on a mission. But, you know, add him, Ahmed, to G.J. Chark, right? Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds, right, on your receiving core. Like, and now you got T.J. Hockenson and company. Like, I look at that and go, damn, that's a pretty damn good group. That's going to scare some people when he gets back getting healthy. So love that. Then, you know, one of my favorite DNs in the whole draft, the kid from Kentucky, Joshua Pascal. I mean, defense end slash, you know, D tackle, but like a beast with versatility and just fits. Again, to me, it's like not only did they address the positional needs, they got guys that fit the attitude of the team, and it shows on film. So I love that.
They'll all bite kneecaps.
They're all in that bite kneecaps. Exactly right. Kirby Joseph, a longer, rangy type of safety. That's great. James Mitchell was one of my favorite tight ends in the draft. He didn't play. He tore his ACL like week two of this college season. But I think he would have been one of the top guys there. So to me, it just it's positional need, some splash, and guys to where, hey, you got some depth. We see it's a team that fights. Now let's get a fucking guy or two who can win the fucking game at the end, and we don't have to lose heartbreakers and make Dan Campbell cry at the podium after. Now you get some guys that can put the game away and make some plays. That's where I loved it. I really did.
Digital Maine says the Lions had a good draft. How do you feel about them getting three versatile pass rushers in Aiden Hutchinson, Josh Pascal, and James Houston from Jackson State? I predicted they'd get two, but three is intriguing. So in Digital Maine's mock draft, he had two DNs going to the Lions. They got three of them. So what do you think about that? Because I thought it was kind of intriguing. It's like, wow, you kind of stacked up on that position. What's the philosophy there?
Well, I think it's the way it is now with, like, you need versatility. Right. They want guy, you know, they want to be able to match up and do certain. Sometimes you go, wait, we got three linebackers standing up and one D lineman, and two of these linebackers are going to drop in coverage. One might rush or vice versa. So I think it's all of that. It's about playing personnel that way. And depth at that position is pretty critical. You know, we see it all the time where it's a position you could have the best pass rush in football, but by play 81. If they're not rested properly, it doesn't matter. They're going to die out. There's only so many times you could go pedal to the metal. Let me go after the quarterback with a 320-pound guy pushing me. Like, there's only so many times. So I think that's how they looked at it. And yeah, they're different guys too. So like Pascal is the kind of guy where, oh right, we're playing a team that runs the ball. He's going to be one DN, and Aiden Hutchinson's going to be the other DN. All right, now the next week we're playing a team that likes to throw. We're playing Mahomes and company. We need more of a pass rush. All right, let's put Aiden Hutchinson outside with another speed rusher type of guy. And now let's move Pascal inside because he's got tremendous power and strength to play in there and do that. But he's going to be athletic in the pass rush and cause issues for Mahomes in the pass protection. So I think that's why you do that and address that kind of position there.
You mentioned all the weapons that the Lions have on the offensive side. Jameson Williams, a new one there. Nick Kozlian says, Chris, do you believe the Lions see Jared Goff as a multi-year starter? Had several opportunities to draft a quarterback this year and passed. What do you think? A lot of people, like, you did hear it. Like, wow, could the Lions go Malik Willis?
I thought maybe,
two?
Yeah.
Glad they didn't do that.
Yeah. I wish they would have gone Matt Corral. I mean, there was definitely that part. But once you went up and Jameson Williams ruined all those conversations, I think.
They could have got him. Why do you say that? Because they still could have got him in the second round.
In the second round. You're right. They probably could have. Yeah.
They could have.
Well, I was sitting there, one of those that was always like, man, if Corral was there at the end of the first for Detroit, I would do it.
Yeah.
I would take it. You know, but they make the move to Jameson Williams, and you can't be mad at that. I do think they believe in Jared Goff. You know, again, I question that, but I think that's real. I mean, I think Brad Holmes, who was in LA and with Goff, he was part of the regime that scattered him. Mm-hmm. I think they look at him and go, he's good enough. And I think they're a team to me that I don't think is going to be like, they're building the team first. They're going to do the team first and address the quarterback kind of when it hits them in the face here. But I don't think they probably felt comfortable about this right here. I think Goff is like one of those, they're kind of looking, but nothing's really presented itself the right way. And they're not going to be able to trade him. Mm-hmm. They took one on the chin. They think he could play and start, but they also did it to acquire the pick from the Rams. They got an extra first-round pick for taking him on because they're trying to build the team. So I think there's like somewhat belief, but I think he gets replaced sometime in the next year. I do, Amon.
Lions, you like their draft. It's
that was a mumbling
years in a row.
Answer.
No. But I think that's, I mean, who knows? They clearly have an idea of what they want. It's either Jared Goff is the guy, or we don't feel like there's another one yet. You know, we don't feel like there's a quarterback good enough or better enough than Jared Goff to take. And so they didn't do it. But I think this is 2 years in a row that I've kind of wondered if you are Brad Holmes, because it's like they drafted all the players that you liked, or a lot of them. And last year, you know, you got Penei Sewell, which you liked too.
I like the two D tackles, right?
Liam McNeil,
yeah, right.
Derek Barnes, you loved too, right?
Yeah.
Out of Purdue.
Yeah.
Are you Brad Holmes? Are you the same guy?
I don't know. You paid me a nice compliment during the draft. You were like, man, Chris, like, if Chris is ever a GM, he just got to sit back. All his favorite players are going to fall to him.
I mean, that is true, right? Well, that is another thing, too, in this draft. Like, I was surprised that there was so much trading.
Right.
Right, because it seemed like this was a draft where it was like, I mean, they're all kind of the same. There may be no game changer. So it's just like, you probably just sit back, you wait, and whatever players are there when it's your pick, you take them. But it seemed like a lot of teams fell in love with some players, or enough to want to trade up and get them, use draft capital to get them.
Yeah, you're right. That's what I think.
You wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't. But I think the teams saw, like we talked about, not everybody had the same top two or three at each position, but some teams just went, wait, I think this top two, and there's a cliff after that, so I want to go up and get my guy right now, as I'm not comfortable with my grade with the other guys or whatever there. So I think that plays into that a little bit. But yes, we seem to see eye to eye there. You know, I'm not like, I don't know. You know, I don't. They have a culture there, a little bit of, it's the Saints people who are Sean Payton, which is Bill Parcells, which just sees football the way I do a little bit, you know. And then the other team that we're going to talk about here in a second, because Pete thinks I was the GM of that football team, is the Ravens. You know, they're a little the same way too. Where I'm big person philosophical that way, and maybe that's how the Lions and Ravens see things.
Yeah, you like those big dudes.
I do.
Caleb Beard, as we move on to the Ravens here, said, hey guys, love the pod. Ravens stay put and constantly have amazing guys fall to them. Almost everyone they got seemed like a difference maker, no matter what round. And what they end up taking, what, like 11 guys here? Right. How many picks did they have?
They dominated.
11 players, 6 in round 4. Including your guy, Jalen Armour Davis, a corner that you like a lot. It took a pick 119 for him to go off the board. But before that, they got another good DB in Kyle Hamilton, the best safety in the draft. Linderbaum, the center, the best center in the draft. David Ojabo, who a lot of people like. The Achilles injury, of course, a bummer, but got him in the second round. And then, I was like, when do I stop here? Travis Jones, that you like a lot, the big dude up front that went to UConn.
Love him. Love him.
So, yeah, I mean, you love what the Ravens did.
I love what the Ravens did. I mean, you can continue to go on, really. I mean, first off, they're amazing. You know, I always have fun with them calling them, you know, they pillage the biggest, baddest dudes on the planet every year. It's like they send out a call, all the biggest, baddest motherfuckers, come here, call, we're the Ravens. Like,
Hamilton's a baller. Can't miss prospect. They need the position. They're, you know, you could tell they're into his versatility and movement around. They're going to play that matchup game great. Tyler Linderbaum, best center in the draft. Boom. I mean, it's a team that's orchestrated around the run game and doing that stuff. This guy is unbelievable. Oh, you want somebody to block somebody and get to the second level and cut off the linebacker so Lamar Jackson could turn the corner? Well, he's made to do that. Ojabo's a first-round pick if he doesn't tear his Achilles at his pro day. Travis Jones is a beast, definitely one of the best interior D tackles in football. Falele, I wasn't sure he'd go this early in the fourth round. It's like Orlando Brown light. I mean, it's just a huge human.
Peter King was in the room with the Ravens for the fourth round.
Right.
And Falele, who's 6'8". How much does he weigh?
380? 370? Somewhere in there? I can't remember exactly. Yeah.
So Eric DaCosta said to Falele on the phone, "We love big guys like you."
Yes, they do. You know, they're going to go, hey, we'll teach them, you know, some better footwork stuff and all that. But, like, this guy's... He holds 380 pretty damn good. I mean, it's not like fat and sloppy. It's pretty damn good. And then Jalen Armour Davis, who, you know, I think is for sure one of the five best corners. Only played 1 year. I think he's got a few little injury things on his resume that hurt him. But then wait, it's not over. Fucking awesome punter that I didn't evaluate, but everybody says he's good. And then two tight ends to go along with Mark Andrews, and like different ones. Charlie Kohler is a huge, awesome pass-catching tight end. Now, he doesn't block anybody ever, but if he can bring some of his physicality that he brings in the pass game into the run game, oh my gosh. And then Isaiah Likely, I don't think you were here tight end day when we did them.
No.
But he's like your athletic, you know, like, whoa, he's a big receiver or a small tight end, whatever he is. But he's my number four tight end. He's special. And then get to Marion Williams. I mean, it was an unreal draft by the Ravens.
So what, really, I mean, if you're a current Baltimore Raven, what are you thinking? You got 11 new dudes coming in.
Yeah, well.
Like, that's the one part of the draft I think no one really thinks about a lot of times. Like, I thought of it when Chase Claypool went up there to announce a pick in round number two.
Right.
You know, he's all pumped up. He's like, hey, everyone, I'm here. And he reads the card. It's George Pickens.
Yeah, right.
Wide receiver out of Georgia. And you're like, oh, crap. You know, it's good. You got, you know, teammates that can help you win, get the Super Bowl. But at the same time, every draft brings potential replacements for you.
Yeah.
If you're a current Baltimore Raven, what are you thinking right
now? Well, the only thing you have to worry about, like, to me, it's just that I look at it. Because, again, it's one guy at each position, right, for the most part. So
Two tight ends.
And we're going to get to that part, right? So that to me is where it affects it, right, where – like, okay, you know, I was a player too. I'd watch that too, right? And you're, oh gosh, quarterback. And all right, well, how secure is my spot? Where am I at?
Sure.
Am I one of the top two, three guys of the position? Okay, I'll be good. But if you can realistically look at it and go, wait, D tackles, whoa. And then you start to go, wait, I'm kind of the one of the guys that was already like fourth or fifth on the roster, and now they drafted somebody. Yeah. You have a little pit in your stomach this weekend. You're going, damn, they drafted a guy that could be, you know, my ass. If you're the third tight end on the roster, you're going, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. Mark Andrews, somebody else, and now these two guys, I mean, they're going to make it. They're going to have to, like, do something stupid to not make the football team.
And even if you're number one, you might be thinking, crap.
Well,
they don't want to pay me.
Well, but Mark Andrews got paid. That's the only thing you have to do. But you're right. If you didn't get paid, you would be thinking that. You'd be going, oh, no, they're thinking about making a move in the next year or two to go on to the next thing. So it depends on how many people and where you are at the roster.
One more thing about the Ravens. Yeah. Danny Dimes, 8. Or Denny Dimes. Not to be confused with Danny Dimes.
Danny's talking.
Denny Dimes, 8. How do you think the Ravens address their wide receiver situation? So they traded Hollywood Brown. Lamar was like, WTF.
Yeah. Which he wasn't really.
Even though, it was like...
Like he knew.
It was known that Hollywood, at least inside the team, that he wanted out. So they did not draft a wide receiver. I mean, who does Lamar have to throw to?
Well, it's got one of the best pass-catching tight ends in football.
Got Mark.
That's for sure.
He got two new tight ends now.
Yeah, and he's got Rashad Bateman, who they took in the first round last year.
Okay.
Devin Duvernay, who's kind of a weapon, right? And, After that, you know, yeah, there's Tylan Wallace maybe, but there's nothing special there. You're right. But this is what they're going to have to continue to battle. And maybe they're going to play this more in a style of football. It did occur to me, like, are they going to play more like 2 and 3 tight end sets? And that be a real thing? They got another really talented tight end on their roster, and the kid they traded from Jacksonville, Joshua Oliver, out of San Jose State. So maybe they're going to play a different style. And maybe they've realized receiver's going to be kind of a tough thing there. Nobody's going to want to sign there as a free agent wide receiver and go there. Now, this could be the time, you know, you go through, maybe there's some cuts or some, you know, other free agents out there. I got to look at the free agent list. There's probably some older guys that they'll probably get in and bring in that can, like, fill a need. But I know that's not a lot of young talent here, that's for sure. Not a lot of proven commodities at the position.
That's interesting you say that there's not a free agent wide receiver that's going to put Baltimore Ravens as number one on their list, because those franchises, and I know in other sports too, it's like the San Francisco Giants in baseball. It's a huge park. Free agent sluggers don't want to go there. You know, like, I don't want to go there. I'm not going to hit any home runs.
Right.
So they have to draft those guys, right? It's like they have to. It's like, so that would be the argument for drafting some wide receivers in Baltimore. But they didn't do that. They had a great draft regardless. We're nitpicking at this point. Another team that had a great draft, the Kansas City Chiefs. NY Chiefs fan says the Chiefs slayed it, absolutely killed it in the draft, so he approves, or she, to start picking off at the end of rounds and then maneuver around the board, get impact players that they did. I've said it a few times. This draft was Brett Veach's magnum opus.
Like Veach... Magnus Opus, that's a nice wine, right? Nice red wine. What, is that what that is? I think it is.
No, it's not that.
No?
Magnum Opus is like a masterpiece.
Okay. All right.
Pete's helping us
that
out.
That was too
here.
Much
is
of a masterpiece a phrase.
Is that from a
for
movie?
For me to understand there?
Yeah. No. Maybe. Yeah. It seems like a relatively common phrase that we don't know exactly the roots of it. Yeah. Mr. Holland's Opus, I think, is what. Richard Dreyfuss.
They killed it. Another team, without a doubt. Like, you know, I don't know, Veach, Howie Roseman, DaCosta, I just feel like they, like, when it comes to the draft, they're kind of playing a different game every year. I almost feel that way. Just always make a move or free agency or do something in the roster. Like last year, what did the Chiefs do? It wasn't through the draft. They killed free agency. Joe Tooney, Orlando Brown. We're going to get the best center in football in the second round, and he's going to be all pro. Like, there's always a plan with, like, the Ravens, the Eagles, the Chiefs. And then they're not afraid to be a little aggressive and take a chance. Trade up to get Trent McDuffie. Probably a little scared that, you know, maybe a Patriots or somebody else, you know, in the 20s is going to take him. So they do that. Get George Karlaftis. Yeah, seeing that, you know, hey, down the road here with Frank Clark, they need an edge guy. We know they needed the receiver. It has Steel with Sky Moore.
Yeah.
Ultimate slot receiver weapon guy. I love Brian Cook, the safety, to go along with it. So not only does he, like, he's a traditional strong safety type, but, hey, we just signed, you know, the kid from Houston as a free agent, the safety. I'm blanking out his name. What the hell is his name? Justin Reed, thank you very much. They signed him. Juan Thornhill, this is the last year of his rookie contract. You got a guy coming up the ranks if that doesn't work out. You know I love Leo Chenal from Wisconsin.
Those first five guys
what?
Are like your guys.
Killed it. Like Joshua Williams, long corner from Fayetteville, is like a good pick. He's going to match up against big receivers in the NFL. And then even the guard from Kentucky, big, powerful guy. They have an eye for offensive linemen. So, yes, they are definitely one of the teams that won it to me. They've replenished their football team. And they've kind of like, within here going to 2 Super Bowls and 4 AFC Championship games in a row, the last 2 years have flipped over their roster to where you go, there's no like rebuilding or retooling phase. They kind of did it. Here we go. We're about to start part 2 of the Patrick Mahomes Chiefs story here.
Yeah.
That's what I think they basically did this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, because when you trade Tyreek Hill, you're like, oh, wow.
I know.
He was, you know, as much as Patrick Mahomes was that offense, it was like it was him in combination with Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Sure.
So it's like without Tyreek Hill, you drafted the wide receiver in Sky Moore, but it's like reshaping the team. Got to get better defensively, maybe. You know, it's like that's the cool part of football. It's like you can win multiple ways, right? The Chiefs have won by outscoring everyone a lot over the past few years.
Yep.
They've had good defense at times.
Yes, right.
But you can kind of see where they may be going in the draft and how they might be reshaping the team. How might the Chiefs be different in 2022 than in 2021 and before?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think they're getting to the point here where maybe they might be able to rely on that defense a little bit, to where it's not going to be like, you know, they're spotty. They've been opportunistic. We've had times of, whoa, it's bad, it's bad. You know, it got dominant in the middle of last year when they started to turn around. Then it kind of started to, you know, go the wrong way. You know, but they make plays. That's the one thing about them, you know, on that side of the ball. But, man, I mean, you know, no Tyreek Hill. Okay, great. But they still addressed the void. You know, there's Mecole Hardman there. He's still got 2.5 rockets up his ass. Mm-hmm. And then you got Valdez Scantling. So, you know, even though that's not Tyreek Hill, like, schematically, the way they draw plays, they're still going to be able to do the same thing. They're going to go, well, Valdez Scantling's really fast. He's still going to scare a lot of people and get attention with our quarterback who can throw the ball over the Colorado Rockies. So the people are still going to back off. It's not going to be like, they're going to be like, let's play bump man-to-man. Tyreek's gone. Let's right. get in their face. Mahomes won't throw it downfield. Yeah, right. So they've addressed that. And then I think, you know, with the offensive line being well-rounded and –
yeah,
you know, defensively, damn, you talk about the two young linebackers, one they got in the draft last year, you know, the one the year before that. You had that with Chris Jones and some of the other guys that they got on that D-line. Like, they got a really good football team, and they're going nowhere.
I did kind of have an epiphany over the weekend where it's like, this is why you pay quarterbacks a lot of money, and this is why it's so valuable to have a good quarterback, is that You don't need to give them the best tools out there, right? If you're going to pay for something, it's like you assume, and maybe this is why the Packers are genius for never taking a top wide receiver. It's like Aaron Rodgers is so good that we don't need to draft the best receivers. You don't think Davante Adams is the best receiver in football, but at times he looked like it because the quarterback is so good. And so I think that's, you know, that there's something to be said about that. Do we have I did look up the definition of magnum opus.
Yeah, what is it?
A large and important work of art, music, or literature, especially one regarded as the most important work of an artist or writer. So NY Chiefs fan,
that's where I've heard that
Brett Veach's draft this year was his most important work ever.
Right.
And
the magnus opus.
Was it? There is an opus wine.
There is. I was going to say, I feel like I remember.
Yeah. And you could buy a magnum.
I don't know why. I don't drink wine, but I remember that.
Okay. All right. So the Chiefs did well.
Yeah, they did.
NY Chiefs fan, for whatever reason, is not an NY Jets fan. But you think that the Jets did well. Round one obviously killed it. You mentioned that already.
Yeah.
With Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, all in the first round. But you think they added some nice depth after that.
Well, they just continue to be scary after that. Breece Hall? I mean, like, the biggest home run hitting running back in the draft, you know, him, Kenneth Walker, or the kid Pierre Strong from South Dakota State. You talk about guys that can go 80 to the house. And then,
a bit of a surprise to me, because I didn't think running back was really a weakness on the Jets.
No, but I think they're looking at it going, wait, we can't have enough. We're the Shanahan rum scheme. It's important to us. We're going to play action pass. That's what we do. We don't want one injury and then go, oh, shit, we got to change the play we play. Right? That's where I think, like, teams like them, the 49ers, you drafted a running back, the Patriots drafted two of them, because they're going, wait, we run the ball, and, like, we want certain guys to run certain run plays, and if we do get hurt, we don't want to have to change our game plan. So, but the other thing that's awesome about that, let alone, like, the running, all of that, Hall is really good in the pass game. Mm-hmm. So now you got Zach Wilson dropping back and going, wait, I'm going to attack downfield. Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, Corey Davis. Oh, they're all downfield. Oh, here, Breece Hall underneath. Oh, you're one-on-one with a linebacker. Watch out. So that's amazing. And then, of course, they get my tight end, who is a Jets fan, my number one tight end from Ohio State, Jeremy Ruckert. I mean, he is going to be really good. He just didn't get to catch a lot of balls at Ohio State. He's got everything you need that way. So that, and even the damn tackle they got from Louisiana, Max Mitchell, I mean, no doubt about it, or one of the teams that won the draft. The Jets killed it.
Ruckert shouldn't feel bad because Jameson Williams couldn't catch a whole lot of balls at Ohio State. No, right?
You're right.
Too young for Broadway Joe was loving it, said, okay, I'm biased, but seriously, how are the Jets not obviously number one, consensus best corner, two or third best edge, close to consensus best running back, most people's best receiver, and at Chris Sims' best tight end?
Yeah.
He thinks the Jets were clearly number one. You can make that argument.
You definitely can. You know, them and the Ravens, I think, are definitely in that conversation, especially when you get past the, like, wait, it wasn't just three picks. It's like five, six, maybe seven, where you go, whoa, I really envision these guys helping the football team. So, and then, yes, Jermaine Johnson at 25 is insane. You know, it really is. But, yeah, they got difference makers on their football team. And, again, you kind of couple that together. You know, the Jets, with all the injuries, their defense, I think, does have some pieces. And then their offensive line, just think about this, Elijah Vera Tucker, Laken Tomlinson at the other guard. You know, George Fant at tackle, Mekhi Becton at the other tackle. And then they have depth and guys that fill in and versatility there. That's where I like the Jets, and I expect Zach Wilson to take off with this. So, yeah, I love their draft. Way to go, Jets.
We've had two bad teams already with good drafts. Do you see the Lions draft or the Jets draft putting them close to competing for a playoff spot?
I think the Lions will be a remarkably different football team this year. I'm going to say playoff spot. I'm going to bet on Lions being like, we're actually talking about them maybe being in the playoffs in early December, but it kind of like stops there. We're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. One more year.
We're like, man, if they just would have closed out that one game.
If they just didn't have Jared Goff and they could lead a two-minute drive, they would probably got in. That's what we're going to probably be saying, all right? All right? I don't know why they don't want to replace their quarterback, but they don't.
What are we going
to
be saying?
I tried to make logic out of that before.
What are we going to be saying in December about the Jets?
The Jets, we're going to go, oh my gosh, they're such an exciting team. Like, man, did they play good this year? The organization's in the right going in the right way. But holy shit, their fucking division's awesome. And, you know, they're going to go 7-10 or 8-9 and not make it, but they're going to have lost like a heartbreaker to the Patriots. They lost a heartbreaker to the Dolphins in Miami. You know, they lost Josh Allen, threw a ball between his legs 74 yards to be like they. I mean, that's the unfortunate thing for the Jets and teams like them and the Dolphins. They're going, we're getting better, but the damn teams that are at the top of the division are getting better, and they're really good. Like, it's insane, the AFC East. It's insane. So I think they're going to be better, but am I going to sit here and tell you playoffs right now? No, I can't do that yet.
Luckily, now expanded playoffs, you can have literally
Chiefs,
every team.
Chiefs will make the playoffs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I figured that. I mean, and Ravens will be in the conversation, too. Yeah. I get that. You had one more team in your tier one of good drafts.
Yeah.
Won the draft. And that last team was a fringe playoff team that maybe is more of a solid playoff team now. The Philadelphia Eagles didn't have a whole lot of picks. What'd they have here? Five picks. One in the first round, got the big defensive tackle out of Georgia, Jordan Davis. But then after that, Cam Jurgens, which was a guy that you kind of mentioned as a Robin Hood of the draft, right?
Yeah.
A guy you really like, got him in the second round.
Awesome.
And then N'Kobe Dean in the third.
No, it's, you know, they seem to kind of know how to play the draft with assets and acquire what they want. You know, I mean, yeah, that's cool picks. We got to include A.J. Brown a part of that.
So JL says, Eagles big time winners, Jordan Davis, A.J. Brown. Got a first-round talent, N'Kobe Dean. Howie redeeming himself since the Rager pick and showing that he learned from not surrounding Wentz with talent and giving Jalen pieces to succeed. So that's the A.J. Brown trade.
I think so. And, I mean, you got to play A.J. Brown into the part of the draft here and what they did. That's it. It's part of it. They gave up one of their picks to get him. All right, so then the Tennessee Titans took, you know, Treylon Burks. But, yeah, A.J. Brown, I mean, that changes your football team. You know, it's like, first off, I love the formula. You know, he's a weapon. You know, he is a guy, speed sweeps, reverse, all that type of stuff. That goes great with Jalen Hurts and his movement, right? We always love that combination. How many times during the season last year were Philadelphia, their run game, it's the best in football.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, now you got to worry about that O-line, and then you got to go, oh, no, we have to leave one-on-one with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith outside. Yeah, have fun. So that's like an amazing combination. And then they build for the future with the offensive line, which is already an unbelievable offensive line. But they're like, well, one of our five blue chippers is probably going to retire next year, so let's make sure we replace him with a blue chipper. And this guy's a great player. He was, to me, after the guys that went in the first round, the Patriots, Cole Strange, and then this guy, Cam Jurgens, were the next linemen on the board. And this was clearly the second best center in the draft behind Linderbaum. He's actually maybe got a little bit more power than Linderbaum. Not quite the athlete. Can be maybe a little out of control. But it's going to be a starter for them. And a year behind him. So you got that guy at center. They got the guy they drafted at center from Alabama, Landon Dickerson, last year, who played guard for them. I mean, they've set themselves up to go, they're going to have the best offensive line in football for a few years here. And that's where it's really awesome. And then to get N'Kobe Dean, wait, you know, our defense, we like Darius Leonard, fast linebackers. We don't really care if they're a little undersized. He fit that too. So to do all of that, immediate impact on the football team, get A.J. Brown, and then you come away and you didn't even have to trade away in one of next year's picks or anything. They still got two first-round picks for next year. I mean, Philadelphia's sitting pretty. Howie's done a really good job.
Big Sturg says, how does the Eagles' first-round moves change how you look at them going into the season? So take the whole draft into account there. Because, like you mentioned, with the East on the AFC side.
Yeah.
Tough division.
Yeah.
You know,
the
NFC side
there,
has been
right?
A little more wide open.
It
so,
is.
Yeah, what do you think about the Eagles?
It just comes down to Jalen. You know me. I hate to say it's quarterback thing, but like the Eagles are a playoff football team. Obviously, they went to the playoffs. They've made their team better. I expect Jalen Hurts to be better. They've surrounded him with, I think, a formula that even fits him even better here, too. Oh, run the ball. He's a great deep ball. Throw it up, 50-50, back shoulder type guy. You know, A.J. Brown's going to be very good at that stuff. So, leader. They're in the leader house right now. For sure, in the NFC East.
Really? Wow.
I'm going to put them in front of the Cowboys. I definitely am. Yeah, the Cowboys this offseason, you know, their draft, the Cowboys did an okay draft. They drafted some guys on potential. Mm-hmm. They took a risk on a few guys, in my opinion. Yeah, I look at the Eagles and go, man, you do that? You got that D-line? You know, they got this guy, Jordan Davis? I mean, Jordan Davis, man, he will be Fletcher Cox 2.0 or whatever freak of nature D-tackle you want to throw into the conversation. But good luck running the ball in Philadelphia this year with him, Davis, Cox, and Hargrave. And then good luck stopping the run with their team this year.
I mean, they're significant upgrades, right? I mean,
significant.
They had a gap in between the two teams last year, but that's some significant upgrades on the Eagles side, which is why they were also in Tier 1. That finishes off your Tier 1 of winners. But we have a good group of Tier 2 winners here, and we'll go through these one by one, because you think a lot of teams improve themselves, and here's the thing, everyone's like, oh, everyone thinks they improved themselves in the draft every year, and it's like, well, that is true, because you did add
players.
Everyone
every
team is better after the draft than before the draft. Yeah. So he's like, oh, everyone's a winner. We're like, well, yeah, actually, everyone is. But you think some of these teams really stand out. Not quite as good as those five that you just mentioned. But the Denver Broncos, let's start there.
Yeah.
Buffa Chip says, if you count Russell Wilson as Denver's number one pick, the Broncos won this draft hands down.
Well, I mean, you got to take that into account to a degree. I mean, I take into account when I think about what they've done overall, you know, for the offseason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've made huge moves that way. You know, but then, like, okay, wait, Denver, we got, like, some stand-up linebacker pass rush needs. Oh, the guy Nick Bonito, Edge, Oklahoma, is a guy I talked about. He was one of my top five linebackers where – he has Micah Parsons like ability. That's what he is.
You were justified in your ranking of him, I think, with that.
Thank you.
With that pick right there.
Thank
you
very much.
A team that knows defensive ends that took him fairly high in this draft.
Thanks. Yeah, he's one of the most natural pass rushers in the draft. They lose Noah Fant because of the trade, right, with Russell Wilson. Fant goes up to Seattle. Dulcich from UCLA, you could argue he's the best pass-catching tight end in the draft. He's a real weapon. 6'5", can really run. Damari Mathis, 4-3 corner from Pittsburgh. Doesn't play like 4-3, but still fast, good, adds depth to the position, like going to be playing there for a while. And then Uwazurike from Iowa State. I love Uwazurike. I mean, if you told me he would have gotten picked 45, I'd have been like, yeah, okay, I get it. And he's, to me, was one of the best pure interior D linemen in the whole draft. And then for a team like them that's got, you know, E.J. Everow, who's their new D coordinator. He's got the Brandon Staley, Wade Phillips background. They needed a guy like this. You know, you hear me say it all the time. He's two gap guys. They need their Akeem Hicks. You know, they're a guy that can make a muck of things and read the play and disengage and do all that, and he's perfect for that.
Yeah, that's a solid group of players.
Very solid.
I am really interested to see what Russell Wilson does there. And they've already had, I mean, they talk about playmakers on offense. You know, you got some guys and some receivers that can definitely separate.
No doubt about it.
I mean, play the game well.
They got it all.
I'm curious to see how big of a jump, because I had them as a playoff team last year.
Yeah.
And it was looking good at times.
Right.
Until it wasn't.
Well, they were just they got all the pieces. You weren't wrong last year. You were just expecting maybe a little more consistent quarterback play, which was an issue there too.
Maybe they'll get it this year. So the Broncos, a good draft in your mind. Also, the team that we started this whole podcast talking about, the Green Bay Packers. It took a little while. It didn't get their receiver in the first round, where everyone was like, they got two picks in the first round. They'll definitely take a receiver with one of those two picks. And that did not happen. It took Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt, both out of Georgia, right? Two Georgia defensive guys. It took the second round in that trade up, like you mentioned off the top, for Christian Watson. Near Maggar 23 says, does Christian Watson really compare to MVS, or does he have other traits that made you consider him second wide receiver in your top five? So how much does he change this Packer offense potentially?
Yeah, well, he to me is on another level than MVS, just to make our Packers fan. This is a guy that I wouldn't even say they were in the same class coming out of college. This guy has got real physicality to his game. They put him at tailback and gave him the ball. Like, here, you're the most explosive guy on our team. Now just run with the ball. He will run people over. And his MVS, as fast as he is, it's a different kind of explosiveness. There's more strength involved here. You know, it's a little bit of a bigger human altogether. And there's just a physicality element to where MVS, you know, didn't bring that. This is a guy that can catch a slant and break a tackle and then outrun people for a touchdown. So that's where I think it's pretty damn special. I love the pick. It just to me, it was like, if he ends up there or with the Chiefs, watch out. Like, it's going to be the perfect combination. And he landed up at one of the two spots.
The only one thing that I think about him is that, you know, we looked at the history with Aaron Rodgers and rookie wide receiver.
Uh-huh.
He's hard on him, right?
I know.
It's like you almost got to come in ready to go. He's raw, right? He might need some time. He was at North Dakota State. It's like, what if he comes in into training camp and Aaron Rodgers just doesn't trust him from the get-go?
Yeah, they're going to have to find the right role and where that is, right? They're going to have to do that. That's not going to be easy. Lazard, Sammy Watkins, I'm sure he'll lean on them, you know, heavy early on. But, yeah, that's what training camp and OTAs is going to be about. It's like, okay, now how refined is he? Can I trust him to run this route the right way all the time? You know, does he read the coverage the right way at the same time? So, like, if we have a double route on where if it's two safeties, you run the middle of the post. If it's a single safety, we want you to run an in-cut and change your route. Can they trust him there? That's what they'll have to find out. Either way, he's going to scare people shitless. Well, if they just use him in a way to where go, hey, he's scary, he's dangerous, we can send him deep and be that guy, there's value in that to open up the rest of the stuff in the offense. But here's where I want to push back for. I've been hard on Gutekunst for a few years here. I mean, of course, I was not a fan of Jordan Love and that whole trade and all that stuff. But those first two picks in the first round were fucking amazing. Amazing. I mean, I know they didn't get the receiver. They got unlucky. I mean, we just talked about it. Six of them went in the top 20. I don't think they were expecting that.
And their first pick was 22.
Right. So they got
traded up.
They got left out.
Or no, that was where they were picking.
Yeah, that was where they were picking.
Yeah,
right.
22.
They were right because the Chiefs traded in front of them to get Trent McDuffie. They need a middle linebacker, Quay Walker. I mean, he's built just like Devondre Campbell. You know, I love him. Love him. And then Devontae Wyatt. Devontae Wyatt was one of the top 10 players on most teams' board. I did not realize he had maybe so many extensive off-the-field issues there. He'd been in trouble a few times. But that, and then even after those, so we hit the first three picks, then I don't know if I'm saying this kid's name the right way. Sean Ryan from the UCLA offensive lineman, he's a good player. He is. He was like, he'd be the next group of guys, like after we just talked about, you know,
Cole Strange and Cam Jurgen
and the center from Kentucky. I mean, he was the next group up of guys where you go, that's the next lineman guys to go off the board. So I love that pick too. And there's a need there to add a little depth to their own line.
Packers got one of the wide receivers that you were higher on than most in Christian Watson. The Colts got a receiver that you were definitely higher on than most, even though you tried to move him down your rankings as the draft got closer. Alec Pierce was the first pick by the Indianapolis Colts, giving Matt Ryan another weapon. Start right there, real quick. I mean, because Alec Pierce
was a
player that I think a lot of people that maybe don't follow you, once you threw that out there, that he was one of the better wide receivers in the draft.
Right.
We're like, what, you're crazy, this guy, he might not even get drafted. Well, not only did he get drafted, he was taken pick 53 overall in the second round.
I was proud of that. You know, and I'm proud that a guy like Chris Ballard, who I have a lot of respect for and his eye for talent, he took him. It makes me feel good. It's like when the Steelers take a receiver that you like, because you go, man, they have an eye for receivers.
Yeah.
And there's they might prove me right. Guys got big time potential and talent. There's a lot of good receivers in this class. You know, I might have got a little carried away there first, but I think this is realistically like every bit is where he should be. He can be one of these guys like Watson, where like DK and AJ Brown and Debo Samuel, where we go, why the fuck did they wait in the second round? Wait, these guys are big, fast, and freaky, but they went with a route runner for 7 yards instead. Like, that's, you know, I like to make fun of that shit.
Yeah.
But that could definitely, these could be the two guys that end up being the stars of the draft. I would not be shocked about that. But then get a freak of nature tight end, Jelani Woods. I mean, huge target. So they got something there with Matt Ryan, who knows how to place a ball, knows how to throw to big receivers like Kyle Pitts or Julio Jones. And now he's got Michael Pittman Jr., Alec Pierce, and Jelani Woods, who's like Gronk running down the field in the pass game. Mm. That was a hell of a pick. And then got my tackle Bernard Raimann in the third round, which I'm shocked that he fell that far. I don't know what happened there. I want to dig in on that if there's something that maybe I missed, because I really liked him and thought he was a first rounder. And then Nick Cross, the safety from Maryland. They have a need at safety. Cross is a freak of nature athlete, right? A little raw, a little out of control, flies around, but like one of the best pure specimens in the whole draft. So from that standpoint and those picks right there, I love what the Colts did.
Paul Good says, as a Colts fan, I think the Jets won the draft, but I'm curious why you think that Chris Ballard doesn't get more love. Clearly one of the best GMs in the league and smashed the draft once again. I think he probably does get enough love by the fact that I know his name. I don't know all that. I don't know that I know every one of the GM's names, but Chris Ballard, I know his name.
They just got to be in the playoffs and make a run, and then to his point, we'd all know it a little bit more. That's why we know Veach and those guys. It's just, hey, Chris Ballard got the unluckiest thing in the history of GMs happened to him.
What was that?
Andrew Luck quit.
Yeah.
That is like a game changer. Wait, I took the job because I didn't think I was going to have to worry about this position for 10 years because this guy's awesome.
And now it's the only thing
And now it's the only thing I could deal with for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Right. And it was during preseason.
Yeah.
So it was at the worst possible time.
So then you got Jacoby Brissett, you got Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz.
Right. Now they're under Matt Ryan. Yes.
I mean, give him credit. Those are names where it's like he hasn't settled for like 4 years of
middling
quarterback.
He'll keep taking his cuts for sure. Exactly right. Ballard's definitely one of the best GMs in football. And guess where? He's from Kansas City with that whole crew, like Veach. Shocker. He's got a plan. He's not afraid to be aggressive and do what he's got to do.
Had one of the better drafts. Your next team that also had a tier two draft.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit surprised because I think some people are down on them for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Well, let's talk about the ledge.
The Jaguars. They took Trayvon Walker, number one. I think they're, even though there's a lot of love for him out there, I think there are people that think like it was a reach. Like this guy came out of nowhere. He just tested great at the combine. You've talked about that before. But you actually like what the Jaguars did here in this draft.
I do. I like what they did in the draft, and I'm not mad at the first pick. Would I have taken Aiden Hutchinson? Yes. But like Mew and I were talking about this in the barn, right, when we were watching the draft on Thursday night. You know, at the very least, you got a big stud on your D-line. Oh, right, maybe he doesn't live up to number one billing. He's your starting defense end for 8 years. Like, and then some. Beyond. Like, his lowest of his low is, like, better than just starting on your defense end. He's a freak of nature. He has a higher ceiling than Aiden Hutchinson. And to what we discussed in the barn, I almost want to get up and show people on YouTube a little bit to show, like, you don't understand. He was played in a style of defense and the, what they asked him to do that was absolutely, like, if you literally said, how's the worst way we could suppress Trayvon Walker's talent? You'd go, let's play him like Georgia did. and then nobody will see it.
He was basically asked to stalemate the offensive line.
Exactly. Right. Like, let's stand up. Let's show. You want to show the people?
We're not mic'd up.
Oh, we don't have a mic. All right. I was going to hold the mic. I thought it was over. But, like.
Oh.
You
actually
took a video?
Yeah. Pete, while you were doing this to me in the barn.
I didn't know you tweeted the video of this. I did not know this. I missed this. So
it was the tail end of the demonstration.
But to your point. Yes, you explained it right. He was asked to hold up the tackle, read the play. You know, they're very intricate. They're really well coached. But he never got to just go, if they did like, hey, line up outside, put your hand on the ground, don't worry about reading anything. Just where you see the ball, go 6 yards behind it and try to kill the guy with the ball that's got it there. Mm-hmm. If they did that, and people don't think he can't, go, let me put my foot in the ground, and now let me use my 4-5 speed with my unbelievable get-off and my insane strength, and don't think he can be a force that way. That's insane. He didn't climb up the boards this far because most of the league was like, this is crazy. He's stupid. He can't play. Jacksonville just seeing something. No, everybody saw this. He is top 4 player on every board in the NFL. Every board.
If he doesn't go number 1, he goes number 2.
He goes number 2. Right. And if he doesn't go, oh, here we go. Yeah. Look at this. I didn't know you guys were filming this.
Yeah.
I missed this.
Yeah,
right? So you're playing tackle.
That's where you were telling me, you know, that's where he would just go. They just, if they tell him to go, that was
right.
It. They didn't get the part.
I did run into you a little bit.
He manhandled me.
I did. I manhandled you. Exactly.
It was like, I was like, is it? I was like, is this what it's?
Oh, yeah, he didn't want to embarrass you. Right. But that's where it becomes a different game. Right. Instead of being me head up on you, which is what he has to do. He has a lot of times asked to be head up on you. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, he doesn't get to use his speed or get the edge ever or any of that. So that was a great pick. Devin Lloyd trading up into the first round. Again, we talk about Nick Bonito out of Oklahoma that the Denver Broncos took.
Yep.
Here's a guy that's like, again, had the rare Michael Parsons thing where middle linebacker extraordinaire. But like when he played defense end, you were like, oh, shit. I would rank him in my defense end rankings if we put him there too. So that's a special. Fordner, lineman, I talked about him, the center from Kentucky. Definitely that tier two lineman, second, third round guys. Great pick. Chad Muma from Wyoming. Incredibly athletic linebacker, can play. I mean, I wish it was, you know, he's still new to the position. He's a little raw, but the size, the speed, it's real. So, you know, that from that standpoint right there, I love what they did. You know, again, I don't know some of these 6- and 7-round guys. I went over them quick, so I can't tell you about Monterick Brown from cornerback from Arkansas. I didn't study him too hard.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that their first 4 picks were impressive.
Do this. Go home tonight.
Yeah.
Take a look at
Watch
Monterick Brown and then come back with your analysis of him.
Okay.
Yeah. There were some people that thought the Jaguars lost the draft, maybe right away when
but
they
took Walker. But is it just because
Walker
of that?
Number one, maybe. And there were some people that thought the Titans lost the draft immediately when they traded A.J. Brown.
Right.
Well, they just made their team worse, regardless of who they take here. Noah Dunlap says, aside from the Brown trade, I like the Titans draft. So he said, aside from that, how do you think a team like the Titans can manage throughout the season without much talent in the wide receiver room? They did take Treylon Burks out of Arkansas with an 18th overall pick. But, yeah, they're going to go through a season now without Julio, who hasn't been what he was for a while now. But,
right.
Wait, where's Julio?
Julio's nowhere right now, I don't think.
Oh, that's
he's
crazy.
A free agent. So he's one of those guys where you can go, will Baltimore sign him? You know
that's
what I mean?
Point.
What I'm talking about? That's the kind of guy that I think they're going to start to look at. They're going to go, we'll draft a guy every now and then. We'll look for a free agent. It's kind of like Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, right. Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Right. It's just that's what they're going to do.
But no Julio, no A.J. Brown. In Tennessee land for Ryan Tannehill.
No. That's a big move, all right? You know, John Robinson, not shocked to see him make this type of move, right? We talked about this a little bit with some of the stuff. I know I've talked about it with Flory a little bit. I know there's GMs in football that are like, I'm never going to pay $25 or $28 million a year for a receiver. Never. It's just not going to happen. They think, like we talked about at the start of the show, I'll just replenish them and draft one every 2 or 3 years, and you know, I'll get one in the middle round in another year, and we'll sign a Robert Woods every now and then, and I'll be fine. I'm never gonna pay $30 million. I'm not shocked to see John Robinson from New England take that type of approach. Definitely not. You know, then you know that AJ Brown, you know, here's another little inkling that people there are AJ Brown's had 2 knee surgeries. A knee surgery on both. So maybe they look at that too and just go, meh, we're not sold. It's going to last forever here. It might come, the wheels might come off 2 or 3 years down the road.
If the Eagles made the trade and evaluated it that A.J. Brown was going to play 17 games a year, they probably lost the trade, right? If they looked at it and they was like, what's fair value for an A.J. Brown who's going to play 13, 14 games a year? Maybe it's fair there because that's about what you can expect at this point, right?
Maybe. It's definitely out there. I mean, it's definitely there to see and go, ooh, he's physical and he's had a few issues already, and that would scare you. So maybe that's where John Robinson said, I'm cutting the cord. I'll see you later. I'm getting out of it. But Burks, similar-ish to A.J. Brown. Well, again, I don't know if he's quite the route runner A.J. Brown was, but this is a guy that's a weapon. When the ball in his hands, you know, we were watching the highlights that night. Mm-hmm. It's impressive. It is. And I think with their run game and the way they play, they'll have ways to kind of get him the ball and make him a weapon. So that's great. Love Roger McCreary. Love him. And Auburn corner. Right. Like, has everything you want as a corner, just wish he was a smidgen faster. But, like, as far as feet and hips and all of that stuff, maybe some of the best in the draft. I just wish he was a little bit more explosive. The Petit Frere. I'm not sure how to say that. Ferrer.
Yeah, that was the Ohio comedian. State. That was the comedian that went up there and picked that guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember that guy?
Yes. He's a big, long, good athlete who definitely has potential to be your starting tackle in the NFL. And then to get Malik Willis.
So Steve Quantock says, hi, Chris. Sent a tweet to your dad earlier asking for his take on the Titans taking Malik Willis in this draft. I live in Blightley and don't watch college football. A penny for your thoughts.
Well, listen,
so
Willis,
your dad didn't get back to him, apparently.
Apparently not. What a jerk.
So it's like, all right, I guess I'll get Chris's
opinion.
What
a jerk, that guy.
All right, so what would your dad say about it?
Well, I think my dad, I think he saw Malik Willis the same way I did. You know, there's a lot there to like. There definitely is.
But you like Ryan Tannehill.
Like Ryan Tannehill. I think, you know, it's coming. Let's see. Tannehill, I think, has maybe 2 years left on his deal, probably to where they can probably get out of it this year, right? He didn't play as good last year as he has the years before. And then, of course, he left a really bad taste in all our mouth in the divisional playoff game. So that hurts him. This guy fits it. You don't know how much longer Tannehill's going to be there. You know, here's a guy that we've all said, like, he's going to need a year, maybe two. So Tannehill's a year left, maybe two there. He's probably going to have to play really good to keep his job and do all of that. Mm-hmm. So, and then I just look at the way they play football and go, well, yeah, he's got a lot of Ryan Tannehill-ish qualities. Tannehill's got a good arm, pushes it down the field. We've talked about this a lot of the last 2 years, right? How good of a deep ball thrower he is and all that. Malik Willis is made for that. You know, oh, everybody's downfield. Ryan Tannehill ran for 8 yards. Malik Willis is going to be able to do all that stuff too. It's a deadly combination with Derrick Henry and the way they want to run the football. So I think it's a great spot for him. It's like a spot for Malik Willis where, yeah, we don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about getting in there right now. It's an offense that we like the way you play, and you're going to like the way we play. And then you got a quarterback in front of you who's good and got some talent, but he's not necessarily set in stone here forever. So you got a chance. Keep working, kid.
You know, Kyle Shanahan tried to do this at the beginning of last year. Remember that, where he tried to have a package of plays for Trey Lance and then also for Jimmy Garoppolo? And in theory, it's like, I like that idea, right? It seems like you have Malik Willis, a guy who has talent. Like, why waste it and not play him a whole year, right? It just doesn't seem to work out. Maybe a team can figure it out. Maybe they will try it. Maybe they won't even try
it. I'm sure they'll probably try it too. But you're right. It never is as good as we say it is.
Yeah.
Never is. Because then, it's, you know what happens is they go, well, they let Trey Lance throw the ball in 3rd and 2, and he hasn't thrown a pass all game. And they took the guy out who's 7 for 7, and why did – you know, that's what happens. Yeah. Or it's like, oh, he had a good run, but then, okay, he hasn't played in a while, and oh, damn, he fumbled on this one. And it's just, you're always second-guessed with those kind of decisions, I guess.
Because you bring in Malik Willis as your, quote-unquote, running, if you wanted to do that, as your running quarterback.
Right.
It's like, oh, he's coming in to run, and then the other team knows that, okay, I guess he's coming in to run. You know, we don't have to worry about the pass. And like you mentioned, then you pass.
Then
and
you pass, and everybody goes, I mean, he's not mere to pass. He's unpolished. You told me he needs work. So that's where it is. It's a little weird that way. It definitely is. Also, one more pick by them.
Yes.
The tight end from Maryland. I mean, they got an eye for tight ends. Robinson was up there in New England. You know, even the tight ends they've had there the last 2 years, they've been pretty damn good. You know, they lost their last tight end to the Patriots, right? In free agency. the Chigozium Okwonkwo from Maryland. You know, fits the Maryland mold. Maryland every year has five or six guys that I just go, are they just, do they find the most physically freaky guys and they're raw as hell? But man, he could be something. He could be that guy where you just go, a few years from now, we go, this is one of the best pass receiving tight ends in all of football. He's got that kind of like physical talent.
There's one other team.
Yeah.
That you thought was a tier two good draft.
Tier two.
Then we'll talk about some other teams that have a lot of interest out there and see what you thought of some of the things they did. But the last team that you thought had a really good draft, not in tier one, but in tier two, was the Washington Commanders.
Yeah. I'm going to give the Washington Commanders some love here.
Because I don't even think that you really liked their number one pick.
Nope, I don't love
Jahan
it.
Dotson.
You're right. Not
you don't,
my favorite.
You don't mind the player. It was right. Just, it was higher.
High for me.
Too rich for your blood.
Right.
I liked the guy. He was my favorite.
Yeah,
my
he was. You
watches.
Loved him. Right.
I
know there's a lot of people in the NFL that did.
Who knows if it'll translate. But despite that, despite being a little down on their first pick, you thought they did well.
Yes. Like, they have a need there. I'm not going to be mad at you for, like, believing in a guy. Again, yeah, do I think it's a little high for me? But you know I liked him. I mean, yeah. He was right outside of my top five.
There was a run on wide receivers.
There was a run on wide receivers, right? I know, as we talked about, I think teams saw the top five receivers a lot of different ways this year. I had some friends that definitely thought he was one of the five best, right? So, okay, they got him. There was need there. And then you add the Fidarian Mathis. I mean, are they capable of drafting D tackles out of the side of the school of Alabama there or what? I mean, it's crazy. They got three defensive tackles from Alabama on their team now. But he's a really good player. He was just on the edge. He was a guy that was in my top five D tackle conversation. I mean, big. You know, not like great value in the pass game, but he's your Alabama-type guy. He's going to be big and physical and hold his ground and move some people in the run game and all that. Robinson, I like Brian Robinson.
Running back, Alabama.
Right. A lot like Najee Harris. In fact, I didn't think there was a whole lot of a difference, really, honestly, except just a bunch of hype and talk around it. But, man, Robinson, his ability to run, weave through traffic, shoulder square, follow, set up blockers the right way was really good. And then I fucking love Percy Butler, the safety from Louisiana.
You tweeted about him, too.
Yes. I was Friday night, you know, sitting by the fire, having a drink, trying to keep up with social media. And I was going, oh, my gosh, not only do they need a safety numbers-wise, they need a guy on the field that can help their football team. Butler, to me, is in the conversation for the best pass coverage safety in the draft.
So, Pete, do we have that tweet? Do we have that on a graphic here? Because Chris tweeted about Percy Butler and said, tremendous range in center field. And this guy, Tom 3-0. Said cool about that, quoted you and said cool. You also said he is very good in all areas of coverage. He said sweet. And then you also said, let alone he has three rockets up his butt. And Tom O goes, he has three. Well, he said tickets, but he meant rockets up his butt.
He it changed the word on him, right? I mean, he probably wrote rockets and he tried to write rockets and he misspelled and it wrote tickets.
Yeah. But he was alarmed. He was alarmed. With that, he must not be a
fan of
the pod.
I'm sorry, HM. What's that mean?
I don't think he knows what three rockets up his butt means. You know, he might almost think that's a bad thing.
Yeah,
right. Like,
come on, Tom 3-0.
No, in his defense, in reality, if a rocket went up your butt, that would be bad.
Right.
And if three happened, that would be terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, that would be somebody that is maybe taking it a little too literal. All right.
Yeah.
Let's just kind of figure that out. You know, and of course, if you listen to me a little bit, Tom Moore, you'd understand what two and three rockets up your ass means.
Yeah.
It's a compliment.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Yes. But yes, I love this kid. He was one of my man crushes in the draft. Now, you heard it, even if you watch the draft, he's amazing on special teams. Why? Not because he's not afraid to tackle this kid. So this is a speed, awesome safety. He comes down and brings it. Now, he comes down at such fast and furious at times, he misses tackles and to do that. But it's not because, like, he's soft or doesn't want to hit you. So that's where I really liked it. I really did. I think it's a great pick by them. He has such good coverage skills that if you had a corner hurt in a game, you'd go, we can put him at corner and he'll be okay. Today. That's what kind of player we're talking about there.
All right. So those are your teams that you think crushed it in the draft. Let's
crushed
go through some
it.
Other teams. We got about four other teams here. We'll go through them quickly. Just because they made interesting picks. And I think the Steelers taking the only quarterback in round one was very interesting. Kenny Pickett. You like the George Pickens move second here. But let's start with Pickett real quick here.
Yeah.
Because I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If they don't take Pickett at 20.
I know.
What happens?
I know.
Like, what happens to the quarterbacks? Does someone else take Pickett in the first round?
I think so. First round, I don't know. That is probably the million-dollar question of whether it would be the first round. You know, I had him going the last pick of the first round to Detroit, right? I thought Pittsburgh would take Willis, and I thought, ooh, I could see Detroit liking a guy like Pickett, that style of play. He's just, to me, a better version of Jared Goff, really. So, but I know, you know.
I'm so curious to see that alternate reality.
I don't think it lasts very long.
You don't.
I don't. I don't think there's any way with him and knowing some things that I know from teams and things like, yeah, I don't think it would have been long. Like Atlanta at the top of the second, right? Let's just say they didn't trade. Like, I think Atlanta would have been like, what? Kenny Pickett's on the board at the top of the second. Let's move up a few spots. Let's get him. I think some of those teams might have been in that conversation for him, you know, in the second round if he was there. The other guys, I think they felt like they could probably sit and wait.
Right.
But he was the one that, again, like we said, it's Mac Jones light. He's the most ready. You know, it's not super talented, but he is ready, and you've seen it. You know it. You know what you're getting. And like we talked about, he's a good athlete with a good arm. None of it's great, but it's all good.
You Evolving says, my question, do you think Tomlin and the Steelers can get Pro Bowl-level play out of Pickett over the long term?
Well, yes, probably. I don't know if I ever see top five talent play here. I'm not going to lie. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he proves me wrong.
But I asked you in the barn, how high will he peak out on the Chris Sims top 40 quarterback list?
Yeah, and I kind of would. I said, like, you know, he could maybe be 10, right? I thought maybe he could be a 10 or 11 guy. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. You can win Super Bowls with the 10 or 11 guy. Definitely can. So, but yeah, that's kind of the way I see him. I don't see, you know, again, no Mahomes or Josh Allen, like, strike gold there type of player. Pickens, I love. If Pickens isn't hurt last year and all that, he's probably the 7th receiver off the board in the first round. He hasn't played much the last year and a half.
Right.
But has all the measurables, and then when Pittsburgh takes you at receiver, you go, Pittsburgh's been drafting good receivers for, like, the last 15 years. It's amazing. DeMarvin Leal at a Texas A&M.
Defensive tackle.
What? One of my favorite D-tackles in the draft. Can play a little DN, D-tackle, do it all. And then another man crush of mine with Calvin Austin III.
Wide receiver.
Yes.
4'7",
yes.
So he's a smaller guy. No, he's not big. He's a huge playmaker.
Huge playmaker.
Special teams, return touchdowns.
Like, you know, again, he's 5'8", 170.
Yeah.
I get it. But, you know, you hear, like, the Ravens are going to take him the next pick. The guy they drafted in the first round was 5'10", 169 a few years ago. His name is Hollywood Brown. Yeah, that's where I don't understand the draft some years. It's just like, I want to go, if he was on Oklahoma with Kyler Murray, would he have been in the first round? Or just because he's in awe and we didn't see the stats or whatever? Oh, we did see the stats. It was 1,000 yards receiving. Dude is a fucking baller. He's amazing. He's going to be able to do whatever he wants for them. Amazing route runner. Great strength. Going to run by people. I told somebody last week, his Sauce Gardner told me it was his hardest cover in college.
Wow.
He said he wasn't ready for it. The quickness and the small and how explosive he was. It was early in Sauce's college career, and he said it was a rough day trying to cover him. Guy's got talent.
Oh, no. The Jets are like, oh, crap. They're harder to cover than Calvin Austin in the NFL. That's bad news. How about the 49ers? What did you think of the 49ers? No first-round pick. They spent that on Trey Lance last year.
The 49ers, here's what I liked. Drake Jackson, I think it was he was one of my Robin Hoods, right, that we talked about on Thursday, right, or the Wednesday podcast.
D-end, outside linebacker.
Yes, D-end, outside linebacker that you just look at and go, it just, hey, like, it's for them. You know, line out wide, just go get the quarterback. That's all we want you to do. So the kid's got potential there to be something. There's no question. He fits exactly what they want. You know, Davis Price, the running back at LSU, one of my favorites in the draft. I think he was my number 4 running back, right? Maybe number 3, number 4. But power, Shanahan, the physicality, he wants you run through the wall, you run through this, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's great that way. Danny Gray, speed guy. Shanahan needs that in his offense. So I just look at that. They get Tariq Castro-Fields later down in the road. Samuel Womack, the corner from Toledo. I just thought they did, like, it was a solid job of drafting without a first-round pick.
Das Batlam wants to know, how do you think the pick of Tyrion Davis-Price will impact Debo's usage. So I'm kind of interested. Yeah, Davis-Price, they got Danny Gray, the wide receiver, with the third-round pick.
Yeah, he can fly.
Like those two guys.
Yeah.
How do they work in combination with Debo as, you know,
yeah,
replacements for Debo, offensively at least,
it's
and weapons?
It's a good question. It's a, you know, he Shanahan's always looking for one speed guy. Like he's had Travis Benjamin there, right? He's always, you know, he had the sprinter from Texas, Godwin.
Yep.
He wants those guys because they open up everything
Marquise Goodwin.
Marquise Goodwin, right? Yes. Yeah. I said Goblin, exactly. Thank you for correcting me. Yeah, he likes those guys because it just it opens things up. He'll, hey, I'll draw up the big corner post, and hey, quarterback, if he's there, hit him. Mm-hmm. But I'm really doing it because he's going to scare people off, and you know, I'll have Brandon Ayuk coming across 20 yards, and it'd be wide open off of our play-action pass. So that's where he has great value. But then, like, I think Shanahan, like we've talked about a few times here today, them, the Patriots, some of these other teams, right? He's going to be in the conversation for a running back every year. Every year. You know, Raheem Mostert's been hurt. You know, you see how they run the ball. They're violent. He doesn't want his team to change. So, you know, does he take the Debo? I don't think this really matters as far as the Debo thing. It's great. Yeah, it's more talent at running back. But I don't think it's like game plan wise why Shanahan's doing it. I think he's just looking at it going, this makes our team better.
Right.
And I know how to use these guys. But these guys with Debo Samuel still better than without Debo Samuel.
There are some 49ers fans that need to be talked off a ledge because of Debo and how much he means to that offense, and
yes,
will he be a part of the team? There's another fan out there that also needs that same treatment. Keith Hart says, as a Patriots fan, I hate to say it, but we come to mind as draft losers. Not that these dudes can't be good, just seemed we reached a lot. Can you talk me off the ledge when it comes to the Patriots draft?
Well, I think the reaching starts with the first one, right?
Cole
it's a good
Strange.
Question. Cole Strange, right.
We thought he'd be there in the third
right.
round. We'll pick one or whatever.
Right, right. So that's where that got, you know, McVay is being funny. They're relaxed. They're whatever. I think it gets taken out of context a little
bit. Yeah, I don't think he meant it as...
Right.
I think he meant it more as like a slam on himself, like how dumb am I to waste time
or
on.
Or he was just hoping he'd fall. Now, everybody, yeah, that's where like everybody, you got to realize, like, you don't know how the draft's going to fall out. Do you think Sean McVay thought Malik Willis was going to be on the board of third round? Or Matt Corral? Or all the quarterbacks? No. It's the way it happens sometimes.
Should have taken that time scouting Cole Strange and spent it on Malik Willis.
Well, then you evaluate guys in a range, right? You go, well, we maybe don't expect this guy to go in the first round, but he can go somewhere maybe from 35 to, you know, 90. So you watch them,
yeah,
because you don't know. And who knows? There's a run on D linemen and receivers and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, like a guy that you think might not be there or is there or whatever, it goes different ways.
So you don't think Cole Strange was a huge reach?
Cole Strange was not a huge reach. Cole Strange is going to go off the board in the first 10 picks of the second round. He's, to me, it was him or the center from Nebraska were the two best linemen left, period. And I know people had Cole Strange up there. So, again, I think that's where it kind of gets like a little like outplayed. You have a running lineman. McVay makes these comments, you know, and then everybody jumps on it and goes, oh, they overreached. And I'm like, oh, this was definitely one of the 7 or 8, 9 best linemen in the draft, definitely. And one of the few guards that's kind of like ready right now. And I think that's why they reach and make it happen.
All right, he wasn't a reach.
Right.
But then people said the same thing about their next pick, 50 overall, second round pick,
yeah,
Tyquan Thornton, wide receiver.
I'm a little surprised at this one.
That one now, you'll say was a
well,
reach.
Well, yeah, I will. Like, to me, it's a little of a potential pick here. I know they've obviously wanted a speed receiver.
They don't have a great track record with.
No, they don't with this stuff. This one, I don't. This guy, hey, there's some things I like. I thought he was a mid round pick at the very least. You know, hands aren't the best. He's horrible in contact. I mean, anybody touches him running routes, he never breaks a tackle. He gets knocked off balance very easily. Something there you see. Listen, you heard me just defend the Cole Strange one. This one, I got all three notebooks here because I could really read through my other one with him either way, just in case you wanted to do it with the Tyquan Thornton. You know, can run some routes. He's fast. It's not 4.2 fast, I wrote. Very weak hands. Never breaks tackles. Gets shoestringed a lot. Loses balance running routes too much. You know, good burst out of the breaks. You know, he is sudden and can create some separation. Contested catches, 50-50 balls, forget it. He never catches them. Never. You know, so those were the things. Long, skinny, not that strong. You know, so there's some potential there. To me, it was a potential mid-round pick. That's how I kind of left it off. Now, you get to the other guys. I like their other guys after this. Their next three picks, I love them. I mean, Marcus Jones is one of my five best corners in the draft. You know, you're worried about stopping the Calvin Austins of the world or the jitterbug guys? Mm-hmm. Here's your guy. Him, Jack Jones, kind of the same thing. It's like they went with, like, let's get some guys who got unbelievable cover skills for the middle of the field. And I think that's what they got with these two undersized corners who I'm a big fan of, especially Marcus Jones. But I like the kid out of Arizona State a lot. And then my man, three rockets up his ass, Pierre Strong. And Pierre Strong was the number six running back in the draft. I wanted to make him number five. I really just chickened out because he was South Dakota State. But to me, here's the guy that's like Raheem Mostert or the home run hitter, where you go, you open up a crease for him, he puts his foot in the ground, he's gone. And I love that because I do think they need that little bit of an element in their offense in New England.
You thought it was a very deep running back draft. The top six was very good.
Yeah.
Your number one was Kenneth Walker III out of Michigan State, who went to the Seahawks, 41st overall, second round. Also in the second round, Boye Mafe. How do you think the Seahawks did?
I kind of like the Seahawks draft. I mean, first off, Charles Cross, top 10. Duh, no-brainer. Great job. They need it. He's awesome. Boom. Boye Mafe. Yes, Mafe has some tools to be a big-time pass rusher. Let alone they don't have any special guys, or they probably needed another guy to the mix there, too. And he is some of the measurables to be the most special out of the group there. Kenneth Walker?
Mm-hmm.
Man. Kenneth Walker, to me, is hands down the best running back in the draft. Like, it was him, and then two spots down was Breece Hall for me. This is... Like, you like Chris Carson, right? This is Chris Carson with two more gears. I mean, as I tweeted that night, I went, man, he can run you over, run by you, or break your ankles. The only thing he hasn't been able to show is him catching the ball out of the backfield. But I love Kenneth Walker, and he fits the attitude and style of how they want to play. And then you add two long corners into the mix after that, where the kid Kobe Bryant from Cincinnati and Tariq Woolen from UT San Antonio kind of fits their mold of, like, you know, good ball skills, bigger corners, press, bail, do all that type of stuff. So I kind of thought they had an under-the-radar pretty damn good draft.
So you like a lot of the teams. You think they did well in the draft. And the good news is that this is a very positive community. The homies are a positive community, right?
We can crap on people on Wednesday if you want to do that.
On Twitter, every once in a while, they're non-homies that are getting in your mentions. But the homies are very positive, and so we asked them. This was on Instagram story. So Morgan putting this post up there. How would you grade your team's draft? 88% of the homies that follow you on Instagram said pass. Only 12% said fail.
So everybody's happy. It's the time of the year. The future's bright.
Like I said before, every team got better.
Well,
some teams got better by more, but every team added talent.
Every team got better. There's definitely some teams. Listen, if you want to hit it on Wednesday or next Monday, I got a few teams here where I go, I don't know what the hell they were doing, or that was a boring-ass draft, or they didn't do much to help their team.
Yeah.
So we can always,
Do that.
Draft losers.
We'll bring the negativity.
Top five losers next pod. But
Paul will come here and be like, I'm ready to talk. What a great draft it was. Be like, no, today is negative.
It is positive time of year. And I will say this. In this draft, I honestly think there's more to be positive about. I know there's, like, again, not the sexiness, but I think this draft, maybe more than any we've had in the last 2 years, to go, no. Like, there's third and fourth rounders that went that I was like, this guy's a top 50 player in the draft or top 60. Like, you know, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of starting, going to help your team out, third, fourth, fifth rounders that I think that's where it's a little bit different draft than maybe years past.
Cool. Really fun draft season.
It was a good draft season. I'm glad it's over. I don't have to watch any more film. It's all good. I can just sit it back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
And now we'll see with Baker Mayfield, and we'll get into all some of this stuff as we go on through the week here. I know we didn't hit it all, but we can't make a 7-hour podcast on a Monday.
Well, yeah,
just
Baker,
hour
that's
and 45
interesting.
Minutes.
And that story is going to continue to develop over the next few weeks.
Exactly right. And I'm interested to where they go. You know, Deshaun Watson suspension looming, Trevor Bauer, MLB, 2-year suspension for his office.
God, crazy.
Right.
Watson, I mean, that's got to scare Cleveland to see that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, there was the talks of, oh, the Carolina Panthers are going to trade for him, all that stuff. I mean, how much are you going to trade for the guy that you know that they ultimately got to release? I mean, I think they do.
And especially now that there are very few landing spots.
There's
and,
two.
And teams that are like have alternate plans. So, like, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yep.
It's like they don't, there aren't many teams or any teams. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's in the same boat for the 49ers, right? Teams are okay.
I know.
They don't see either of those guys as a huge upgrade.
No, I don't. I don't know if Seattle does it. Seattle's certainly going to be patient, not trade away anything from it. I don't know. Maybe, like, would the Saints get involved if Baker Mayfield got released? I do wonder that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, would they go that route? But, yeah, I think Carolina, and that thing's done. I think that's sailed. It's gone. They're going to go with Sam Darnold and see if Matt Corral can challenge and maybe be something. So we'll see where it goes. That's it.
That's
I'm
it.
Done. We're done with pods. That's I'm it. Done talking. Ahmed's blue pants.
Yeah.
We're great. The actually, debut. Your blue are my favorite.
These are the your new favorite.
Favorites.
Over the red, over
I like the
new
red.
Yellow.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm a big fan of the blue. I might sport those blue ones, actually. All right. And you have a lot of hoodies in your repertoire now, too.
Like a ton.
You do. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. That's Chris Sims Unbuttoned. Ahmed, appreciate you driving the ship, as always. Hope everybody's good out there. Check us out on Wednesday. You know where to find us. Peace out. Clap it up.